Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were based in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I am Sister Q, and joining me tonight for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of ULU, and he's going to present this month's ULU in Review, a monthly update on ULU and Ujamaa, or family-centered economics. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, sis. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you very well, Baba.
Good.
Welcome back, Baba Hakima. Where would you like to begin this month's ULU in Review? What updates do we have for the family on ULU and family-centered economics?
As I think I've said last couple of months, these 30 days seem to roll around so quickly. And
for sure.
But it's always good being with the family. And yes, we want to give some updates, some marching orders, the news of what's going on in ULU. And, of course, the third Thursday of each month, we'll be here with these updates, and it won't always be me, but the third Thursday will be a time where we can give a very timely updates. And because these shows are recorded, we'll get this episode back out to the total membership tomorrow, so that for those of us who could not be on the call this evening, you'll have the recording in your inbox tomorrow. So our purpose succinctly is to give updates, but also to create this recording so that we will be able to better get the information back out to membership. In terms of updates, as many of our members know, in March of this year, there was a resolution passed at our annual members meeting and convention. The resolution was to enhance or change our primary structure. And so the updates go to the carrying out of that mandate that was put before the membership and voted. Essentially what we had decided is that we would add another structure to our then current structure. We would add a nonprofit mothership, and that work has been done. When we talked last Dare to Win meeting, last third Thursday of last month, we were talking about it coming to pass. It's already done. The state filing has been filed and completed and accepted. The federal filing for the new entity, which is Us Lift and Us Incorporated. Of course, the current entity or the old entity that was established in 2013 is Us Lift and Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. That's the limited liability company, the business end of what it is that we're doing. But the new entity is Us Lift and Us, Inc. It's a nonprofit. It's registered in the state of Georgia, but we will be operative wherever ULU members are in the world. And so members, when they go to the website, they'll see some significant changes, and the website usliftandus.com is the forward-looking face to the world for Us Lift and Us, Inc., or the nonprofit. The traditional ULU organizational structure, Us Lift and Us Economic Development Cooperative, can be gotten to by members through the members portal. And so there's no direct way for the public to get to Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC. It's a private site for our members. And again, I want to take some time to go through this because I'm sensing that some of our members are still not used to going to the portal that often. And of course, on our website, if you click Members Only on the menu tab, the first drop down is Members Portal. And when you click on that, it gives you the option to put in your email address and then your password, and then you'll go into the Members Only area. What I want members who are listening to remember, if for whatever reason you forget your password and have problems getting in, just simply click on the link that says I've lost my password, and it will give you an opportunity to reset your password. Now, I also want to say to members, when you're in the portal, take the time if you need to change anything about your profile. We encourage you to upload a photo. We encourage you, if you need to change your email address, or if you've physically moved, to change your postal address. So anything you need to change in terms of your personal profile, please do that. Please do that. So, but the main thing I wanted to do is announce that those filings for the new entity have been completed. And we have started a new campaign. And most of you have perhaps seen our new video. A serious question for you, and a very impactful, exciting, and relatively short, just 3 minutes, video promoting ULU and promoting our plan. And I want to encourage all of our members to join the campaign with us. And what that means is that we want you to forward the email that you received featuring the video to all of your email contacts. Copy the URL for the video and add it to all your social media feeds or platforms. And even go beyond that to your people that you know. Give them a call. Give them the email address or the web address, because the video is also on the front page of our website as well. And but not only is the video on the front page, there have been some other enhancements as well. One of the enhancements that some of you may not have seen, because we're a nonprofit now, there's a donation button on the homepage. And, of course, that was not there before. So for anyone who is listening who want to donate to ULU, or if you're a member and you're not sure where you want to plug in terms of an equity position in ULU, but you want to support what we're doing, that donation tab is there for that reason as well. And in addition to one-time donations, it also allows you to make your donations monthly, and automatic withdrawals from wherever you say to support us. But the website is there, changed. I would encourage also for all of you who may have in the past clicked on the tab that says Garvey's Return to read it again, because it's been modified. It's been modified to sync with our new strategy. And it's shorter, more succinct, and that's one of the other enhancements on the website. But we've also, in terms of updates, we've updated the portal, the members-only website. The home page, it looks different. It's called the welcome page. It's not the home page in the portal. And read the introduction there. And we're encouraging all of our members who have not already done so to make the decision to become an owner in Ulu and establish an equity position for you, you and your spouse, your family. And, of course, in Ulu, all members are not just individuals. Organizations or institutions can be members as well, as long as it's a legal entity. So we're encouraging, and this can only be accomplished once you're in the portal, the members-only area, the protected area, also go ahead and start your equity contributions. One of the things we want to popularize is one of the very, for most people, kind of easy positions, the $25 a month subscription level. And, of course, some of our members are doing $50 a month. Some of them are doing $100 a month. Some of them are doing more than that and or one-time contributions. And but it seems that the $25 per month subscription level is very doable, and we want to encourage that. And on the website, we try and encourage and popularize that $25 level each month. So those are some of the updates. Some of the things that are still to come are the some of the work necessary to create new documents and edit old documents. So we're still in the process of that. And but I think one of the more exciting updates I want to announce is our campaign to build Ulu chapters in cities around the country and around the world. But we will be starting in Atlanta. And when we say Ulu chapters, most members know that we're talking about the UBC, the Ulu base community. And, of course, some of you are saying, no, it's that you're wrong. It's Ulu Base Collective. No, we have made the decision to go ahead and convert the C in UBC to community instead of collective. From a marketing perspective, we felt that community as a word was more agreeable in our culture. And so we've made the step, and you may find that in the portal, we may not have converted collective to community in every instant, but we're going through and making sure that we comb every page in the site to make sure that we convert it. But so the establishment of UBCs, Ulu Base Communities, or chapters of Ulu. And I just want to spend a little time here and entertain some questions and feedback as we go through this part of the discussion. The UBC, the Ulu chapter in local communities, is the primary building block of Ujamaa, or family-centered economics. What we will do in the future, which we didn't do in the past, we took business ideas from individual members, and we took them through a process, and if we approved them, we sought to fund those and promote them. What we have learned from experience is that we create the collective or the community first and then seek to identify, fund, and support the businesses after the community, the Ulu-based community, has been established. So in the coming days, we're going to send out an appeal to all members, but in particular, Ulu members in the Atlanta metropolitan area. We have close to 200 members in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And for those of you who are familiar with Atlanta, there's a good many of us on the east side, the Decatur, Stonecrest area, and then a good many of us on the west side in Atlanta, East Point, College Park, you know, Douglasville, on that. And so when we send out the appeal in a few days, we're going to entertain a discussion, Q&A session, but the purpose, and at the end of that Zoom session, what we're going to be asking for and expect is that a few people from the east side will have agreed to provide some leadership in establishing a UBC on the east side, and a few people will have identified themselves as providing leadership to establish a UBC on the west side. Now, we know that there will be members on the call who will be from other cities and other areas in the country, or maybe not even in the country, because we have a few members in Canada, a few members in the UK, East Africa, West Africa, the Caribbean. So there may be other members on the call, and you're welcome to come on the call. But we're asking everybody to let's use Atlanta as the model, and that we're going to all be involved in helping to secure those two areas and before we move on. However, if there are members, for instance, you're up there in Charlotte, if there are Ulu members in Charlotte who know that as soon as possible they want an Ulu chapter in Charlotte, then we're asking those persons to step forward and identify themselves and provide leadership as well, and say that they will provide leadership. We will follow up with them, do what we need to do to begin to orient them and have them look over the shoulders of the leadership here in Atlanta, so that when we have certain elements in place in Atlanta, we can get started, for instance, in Charlotte. And if there are brothers and sisters listening to the call now who know that you want to have an Ulu chapter in your city, then go into the portal, and from the portal you'll be able to click on UBC. Again, that's Ulu-based community. And there's a four-slide presentation. On the fourth slide, there's an opportunity for you to put your contact information if you are ready and know that you want to provide leadership in your community for a new Ulu-based collective or new Ulu chapter. So even though we're going to establish the two chapters, UBCs here in Atlanta first, we don't want to hold back very long energy coming from other cities, because once the format is established, it's pretty much already established, but we want to go through and modify where we need to, but once we pull the trigger, we want to be in a position to establish UBCs in multiple communities in addition to what we do in Atlanta. Now, the important thing from building out our systems aspect, in other words, family-centered economics, the UBCs in every city will, in addition to some things that speak to security, building relationships among the Ulu members in that locale, from a business development standpoint, there is already established a protocol. That community will look into its community, neighborhood, vicinity, and determine what are some of the basic needs that a business might satisfy, and what might be popular or needed among themselves, among the members there. And we're asking you to do three things after you begin to form. To develop a concept letter around the idea that you want ULU overall to take a look at. If that concept makes sense to all the participants in the decision-making process, then we'll ask that community to go through a already established process. We'll edit it a little bit. But essentially, it's to come up with the elements of a business plan. And we'll review it again, and if it's approved, then we'll put together a solid business plan and then look to fund that business idea in the local community. The ULU members in that community will staff it, will in all probabilities be the managers of it, the supporters of it, the beneficiaries of it, and we will make sure that we build that business in the nest of the ULU members in that city, because we need the protection, the support of the ULU members. So think of the ULU members or the ULU chapters as being business incubators for needed group-owned enterprises in that local community. But again, the main thing in terms of updates and announcement is that for all members in the coming days, look for an email appealing to all members to help us now begin to build UBCs in selected communities. The current campaign with the video is to attract new members, and we want all members to participate in that. But coming soon is a campaign to build UBCs. I'll just take a break now, and when we start back up, we're going to be talking about an ULU narrative.
Okay. We don't have any questions on the board right now, Barbara.
Okay.
But what I have a question regarding the UBC. Suppose there is a business that's already established in the community, and maybe it has an elderly owner who might be looking to, pass the, he wants to. The business to continue, but he or she is getting too old to run it. Within the protocols of the UBCs, would there be a way to answer that situation?
Yes. I would think that a good percentage of ULU businesses will be acquisitions. And so that really meets a need, because sometimes there are well-established businesses, some of them with positive cash flow, and no successors for the business. And we want the ULU members in any location to be on the lookout for those kinds of opportunities. Sometimes those type of opportunities are less risky than starting from scratch. And so acquisitions, we definitely want to look at them. And the other thing about acquisition, sometimes you're in a position to involve ourselves in an acquisition for a medium-sized or fairly large business that it may take you many, many years to build, to scale, starting from scratch. So again, much of our portfolio will be acquisitions. And the other thing I want to point out is that whether it's a startup or whether it's an acquisition, we want in every case possible to include real estate acquisition in or land ownership in the process, whether
okay.
that's a commercial building, whether it's an ag spot, agricultural spot, urban or rural. But as you were mentioning and talking about acquisitions, we also, whether it's a startup or whether it's an acquisition, this won't be the case in every scenario, but to the extent possible, we want to acquire land in the urban and in the rural as we continue to build. Any
Thank
other
you
questions?
For your answer. I don't have any more right now, but I will give you I'll give you a break.
You sure you're going to give me a break?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
How did the drum wake up? As a people, out of the drum, we come. Hey. Out of the drum we come. Oh. As a people, out of the drum we come. No. Oh. Out of the drum.
We still don't have any hands up on the board,
all right,
Baba. So what I want to remind people is if they want to join the conversation, if you're on the phone, if you haven't called in, call 929-477-2789. then press the number 1 on your phone if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Okay. So, Barbara, you
yes.
want to go ahead?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for that break and for the piece. And, of course, you know I'm familiar with it. So thank you
mm-hmm.
for that. Well, one of the discussions globally is around the new economics movement. There is an obvious need for a different way of looking at economic development, sustainable development,
mm-hmm.
economic development that's in harmony with the planet, and any number of things. And I want to point to a video that's in the resource library in our back office. And for members, when
okay.
you go into the portal, click on resource library, go down to the videos, and it's either the second or third video that's there. It's called
mm-hmm.
Building an Ownership Economy. And it's long. I'll just say it's 13 segments. It's a YouTube video. And it's
mm-hmm.
from a European, and it's not so much academic, but the essential point that I want to make in reference to that video, he talks about the need to establish a third way. The first way, he suggests, is capitalism. The second way is socialism. And then he's saying that many people in the world feel that the proper mix is a little capitalism and a little socialism or a mixture
mm-hmm.
of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But he's suggesting in his presentation that there is actually a third way. What Ulu will say in its narrative is that there is a third way, yes, but it's not the third way, it's the first way, the way of
okay.
African people and indigenous people on the planet. And we actually
mm-hmm.
give name to it when we say Ujamaa or family-centered economics. So the narrative that we will be developing and perfecting and publishing is, in a few words, this is the sense of the narrative. Ujamaa as family-centered economics is the fountainhead and foundation of a new economic paradigm for African people and all of humanity. I want to repeat that. Ujamaa as family-centered economics is the fountainhead and foundation of a new economic and social paradigm for African people and all of humanity. When I mentioned it the first time, I may not have said economic and social. and so what the Ulu narrative will do in a succinct way is bring everything that we're saying on our website, everything that we've always said, into
mm-hmm.
a narrative production, and we will publish it. And but we'll basically chew our roots. And in particular, we'll give reference to Ujamaa as experienced politically and economically in Tanzania under the leadership of Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, when he spoke that Ujamaa is a familyhood that creates an economy. But almost all economies come out of families. I would imagine there is no exception, but there may be. But when you think of people and peoplehood and people, people in any lands, essentially it's family and the need to support and secure and sustain the family that economics arises or emerges. And so what we want to do in the Ulu narrative is be very clear that as the Aboriginal people of the planet, the parent people of the planet, we have always had an economy that has in every instance found its birth or its fountainhead in family. Now, in the 21st century, it needs to align with the communities, the nations, the economies that we exist in. So in practice, this new economics that we call Ujamaa or family-centered economics, we don't want to just practice in our communities, but we also, for various purposes, want to promote it and present it as a way that humanity can look at economic activities and begin to benefit from the paradigm, the model, and create a more wholesome situation in their locales, wherever they are. In specific, what we're seeing is that when you introduce into the economic landscape of a community an enterprise that is group-owned and organized, maybe not succinctly following all of the statutes of a cooperative, but at least group-owned, and with the protocols that we have in place for Ulu group-owned businesses, then that business behaves differently in that community. And then with the proliferation of group-owned enterprises, now you still have in our community, you still got the major corporations, you got government, you got other institutions, you may have co-ops, you got any number of different entities participating in the economic landscape of every community. However, when we establish an Ulu chapter in a defined area, and when we take the time and the effort to develop new business ideas or to acquire an already existing business and convert it to a group-owned business, those businesses, again, perform differently in the economic landscape than a typical business, and they return benefits to the community in a way that a typical business does not. In other words, it's from the community to the community. And then as those businesses mature, become embedded, and then are joined by new businesses, new acquisitions, there comes a point when the size and scale of the group-owned enterprises have enough force, inertia, presence to begin to impact the community in a powerful way. It begins to change the community. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. But what happens essentially is that some of the already existing businesses are Ulu members. The church is an Ulu member. The fraternity or sorority is an Ulu member. This organization is an Ulu member. This family is an Ulu member. And so the relationship and the exchanges that go on not only between Ulu-owned enterprises, but Ulu-owned enterprises and also other enterprises that are part of the black community, the African community, our community, and such that at a point there begins to be a tipping point where the community begins to sense itself as having substantial or greater control over the economic life of its own community. It sees mm-hmm. itself being able to do things from a social perspective that it could not do because the business portfolio in that community was not under its control and influence.
For sure.
More than likely, the businesses control the individuals instead of the individuals controlling the business. Now, we're not saying that we're going to control the electricity, we control the water, the airwaves, but in a very significant way, we're going to be able to feel that this is a neighborhood, community, a section of town where we have presence, not in some spooky sense, but presence in the sense that some of the decisions we make, we can actually have implemented because we have arisen to a power position commensurate with the desire and the need to have an impact and make things mm-hmm. flow in the direction that we want them to. Now, once the size and scope and reach of the Ulu enterprises and the relationships that we have established with other business formations, other organizations and institutions have reached a certain point, it naturally bleeds into other aspects of the social life of the community. Now you find that you have more impact on policy, local politics, local mm-hmm. culture, the street culture, what happens in the daycare centers, what happens in the senior centers, what happens in the rec centers, what happens on the street. And mm-hmm. and then those communities are now connected to similar situated communities in other cities and towns. And
right.
the connectivity in terms of trade in ideas, trade in goods and services, you facilitate that through Ulu itself. And
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, not only are you able to do it in a region, but you're able to do it based on a nation, or you're able to do it in a global region or globally. And mm-hmm. remember, in Ulu, Ulu Enterprises, there's no pigeonhole for whatever industry we decide to build a business in. It could be construction. It could be transportation, hospitality, or restaurant, or agriculture. Any number of banking, insurance. So as mm-hmm. these enterprises grow and consolidate and proliferate, one of the things when you talk about acquisitions, you know, think of the number of insurance companies that have been acquired through acquisition,
mm-hmm.
banks mm-hmm. that have been acquired through acquisition. And so not all of them are going to be mom-and-pop businesses. Some of them will be medium-sized and larger businesses. So
okay.
when there is a broad discussion about narratives, you know, what is your story? What is mm-hmm. the nature of what it is that is your offer? in a broader sense. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot of discussions about narratives and the power of narratives. One of our Ulu members has suggested that the American narrative of democracy, freedom, liberty, and all of the flowering language of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution, and other documents and sayings in terms of the American narrative, his position, this other Ulu member, his position is that the American narrative is the most powerful narrative in the history of mankind. And he suggests that coming out of the world wars and all the other things that Europe entangled itself in, if it were not for the American narrative, then the West as we know it wouldn't be the West as we know it. In other words, the stability, the power, and the presence of the West, Europe extended, is the foundation or the pillar or it's buttressed by this American narrative. So there's a lot of discussions about narratives. We had a discussion not too long ago in a situation, and a person asked the question, what is the Ulu narrative? Now, and that sparked in several of us the need to be more intentional and more succinct in developing the Ulu narrative in a publication, not just on our website, but more definitive than the pieces that we have on our website. So that's an announcement. It won't come out in the coming days. We will engage Ulu membership and a smaller collective in crafting the narrative. But it's important that all of us, those of us on the radio show tonight and Ulu members who will be listening to the podcast tomorrow or the next day or whenever you listen to it, to understand that Ulu is not just a good economic idea or a good program or a good initiative. Ulu, in its essence, is giving birth to a new economic paradigm for African people and any other people in the world who could learn from it. It's not capitalism. It's not socialism. It is family-centered economics, an economic model that is group-owned, is individually owned or group-owned, that individuals participate in. In other words, the stakeholders, the ownership stakeholders, are individuals and institutions in our community, so that those businesses are anchored forever in our community. Not every Ulu business will succeed. Some of them will fail. But those that succeed have not the ability to go someplace else, have not the ability to be purchased by somebody else. They are rooted in the community, and they will stay in the community for our children, our grandchildren, and for future generations. And because of our formula for resource allocation, or distribution, profit allocation, you want to call it that, or surplus allocation, I'm sorry, then the success of the business, instead of enriching an individual or a group of individuals, enriches the community through direct benefits to members in the community, the workers, and charities or causes that we care about, not on a one-time basis, but as an ongoing part of the business cycle. And so we have a way now of tapping into, some of us are saying, near $2 trillion that flows through our fingers here in America, mm-hmm. through black fingers here in America. We have a mechanism for tapping into that flow and diverting a part of the revenue that would go through our hands and back out into the broader community. We have a way of trapping, channeling, and making these resources flow into our own reservoir to fuel our own businesses. And as those businesses succeed, then they replenish the reservoir. And replenish the reservoir because mm-hmm. the businesses are built in such a way that the profits or surplus production is not siphoned off and accrue to the benefit of other communities. So the narrative that we're speaking of, the production of the narrative will give greater specificity to our system, our way of doing business in Ulu, and hopefully that discussion, that position can be looked at our business schools, at the HBCUs, mm-hmm. at different commissions that are in our churches, in our sororities, and any other institutions that would care to look at them and analyze them. And what we want to do, and what I suggest that every Ulu member senses in his spirit or as soon as you can, that this is far from a minor innovation. This is a major, major innovation. And as we build it and build it out and build it in the Caribbean, build it in Central and South America, build it in London, in Paris, I'm talking about among African people, of course, build it in mm-hmm. East Africa, Central Africa, South Africa, West Africa, and join our forces, we will, in the coming years, succeeding years, grow a brand of economic activity, an economy that will serve the interests of African people and hopefully serve the interests of the planet as well, and be a force that protects, again, and defends the interests of African people and allows us to develop in ways that we could not in the past because we didn't have an economy that was ours. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, I know we're bumping up against the close of the show, but
we also have a couple of hands raised.
Okay, then I'll just say this, part of what we're doing, and we don't want to be misunderstood or minimized, we are building an economy. Yes, you'll see a business here or there, and you'll say, well, Ulu is doing business in this sector, it's doing business in this sector. But essentially, we are, from the ground up, building an economy that has the potential to grow to the size and force and presence in the world that it would defend and protect the interests of African people. All right, let's go to a question or comment.
Okay. Let's see if I can get... Okay, caller with the last four digits, 6093, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
Greetings, greetings. Yes, thank you. This is Sister Nanana. Good evening to both of you, Sister Q and Baba Hakima. Always good to hear your voices. I think perhaps Baba has already answered the question that I had. I was going to ask if we could, if he could share some examples of the types of things that Ulu will be venturing into and will have the opportunity to partake in now that we have this new legal structure. But I think you have already answered that question. Perhaps there's something additional you might want to add. But
I would.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Nanana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we're going to be able to benefit from is the genius that is in our people. These Ulu chapters and the part of the UBC that's specifically concerned about business development, new businesses or acquisitions, we're going to be able to benefit from brothers and sisters who have different perspectives, either things that they have experienced in the past or things that are unique about their community. And so we're going to be able to pull from those local communities ideas from our members that those members think are needed and would work in their local communities. What's going to happen is that in some cases, these ideas will be funded and they will have massive success. And we'll have the opportunity to benefit from that and duplicate them in other areas. Now, some businesses may end up being only successful in a local area, and we may not want to duplicate. But because we're going to be going through these exercises in multiple communities, some of the ideas are going to be novel, they're going to be revolutionary, and we're going to want to duplicate them in multiple communities and learn from what is happening in that particular community. So rather than point to any particular type of business, just know that we're not barred from entering into any business or any industry, but the benefit that we will have is that each Ulu chapter is a business incubator, not only for itself, that community, but many of the ideas that will come out of that incubator, that chapter, will be transferable and useful for other communities as well. Thank you for the question, Sister Nanana.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Nanana. Okay, we have one more. Caller with the last four digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment or ask.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Baba Hakima. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you very well.
Okay, good. Very, very good. I'm not sure, but my phone has been very active. I'm using the man's phone. It's not something that I created. But anyway, Baba, this, I know we're over the time, so this is not necessarily for you to respond to today, but, the next time you're up. This because earlier this morning I was hit with the question when I was trying to explain family-centered economics. And the brother launched on me, say, well, look, brother, that sounds nice and good, you know, but just last night there was a drive-by shooting that hit a sister in her 80s, and this drive-by shooter was probably somebody her grandson's age. Now, he was saying that for me to solicit some concrete steps of how this family-centered economics is going to work to deal with the problems in the community. Please don't address it right now. I just want to lay it on you. So when you come back, you can address it. He laid it on me. I said, well, I'm going to get an opportunity to lay it on somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing, I think that probably you're right, in the near, not too distant future, we will have to utilize what is there. But just like you have the situation with Russia and the Ukraine, and particularly Western and Eastern Europe, energy is going to be a problem if you don't control the energy flow. And it just so happens that the Ukraine war and Western Europe is going through a summer period. They would really have some problems during the wintertime when Russia cuts off that flow of energy. So, we might not be looking at electricity right now, but we want to get those solar panels ready just in case. And so I'll stop here and for you to, you know, think about it. I don't think we have time to address it, but I just wanted to share that with you. And thanks a lot. I think you did extremely well on showing the benefits, you know, of how we're moving, how we structured ourselves. And I hope the family appreciate that and will get involved. But the brother laid a couple questions on me that I laid on you. You all take care and have a good evening.
Yeah. But we're going to be faced with those kinds of challenges ongoing. I mean, just because we have 15 Ulu businesses in a community, we're not going to automatically do away with some stupid stuff that happens. But we will find ourselves in time able to change the social dynamics, the social climate in the communities, and dampen that and create some safe zones or safer zones. But that's to come. That's a major transformation. But it starts with our understanding of how to build a new economy. And so that's our focus. But yeah, thank you for that. And yeah, we're gonna need to build some solar panels. But one of the things, sometimes the African in America, and maybe in some other particular locations, kind of overlooks, we are strategically placed in close proximity to some elements that they got to have power, and so we benefit, you know, because of our proximity, the roads, the telecommunications, the electricity, the water. And of course, when we talk about water, we know we instantly talk about Jackson, Mississippi, and that, you know, in that situation. But I concur with your brother. We've got to have some generators and some solar panels and be able to survive when bad weather comes through or when bad intents come through. So thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you, Baba. So anything else you want to say before we say goodnight for the evening?
Yeah, what I want to do is challenge all of our members and potential members. If you're not already a member, go to usliftingus.com, click on the Join tab, and become a member. Click on the video to see why you should become a member. And if you need to read other things, and reach out to us, and we can personally interface with you. But for already existing members, I want to challenge us to go into the portal in the members only area, click on the contribute tab, and start a subscription for your equity in Ulu. That's needed because We want to be in a position to fund some of these ideas. And again, the money is yours. It's, you're putting it into your own account. One of the things that hopefully every Ulu member knows, and maybe the public doesn't know, in Ulu, every member has its own personal account on the in the members area. You can see every penny that you've ever contributed and what category it's in. And it's essentially you putting money into Ulu, and even though it's not something that happens very, very quickly, there is a time when, based on the success of the organization and time frame, if you needed to, you could liquidate and bring your contributions out of Ulu, hopefully with some quote-unquote dividends having been added to your account. And some of you won't want to take it out. You want to leave it for a child or grandchild, or park it for a particular time or event, maybe a home purchase for a grandchild or whatever. So it's a chance to contribute equity or contribute capital for what we're doing, but it's equity in the company that, based on success and time, you can use for other purposes down the line. So when we talk about family-centered economics, the main thing is that all of us are owners. We're not putting money into somebody else's thing. We're putting money into our own things. And so that's the family-centered component, is that we are stakeholders in a very real sense. It's ours. Not only do we elect the board of directors, but we also, through our UBCs, decide which businesses we open. So we are owners. We're not just members. Now, when you join Ulu, you're a member. Then you are able to make the next decision and actually become an owner and stakeholder. So those of you who are already members, please go to contribute, make a contribution one time. But what I suggest is make it monthly, and we're asking at a minimum $25 a month. So in closing, let's make sure that all of us got skin in the game, not just intellectual, theoretical, but some capital as well. In addition to that, and I'll close on this, we have three standing committees: membership, research and business development, media, and marketing. And we need some of our members to also step up and take a seat around the table with other members to work on these standing committees. Sister Q, that's all I have, and I'm going to let you go. And thank the family for joining us again.
Thank you, Baba. We look forward to having you back the third Thursday in next month. I want to thank everybody that joined us this evening, and we want to invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.